All right, we are going to jump into God's Word because we believe that the God of the universe is speaking to us through His Word. I'll just be completely honest with you. I absolutely love reading God's Word. If you don't love reading God's Word, then I would suggest that you continue to read God's Word. At first, it's like, I don't understand any of this. This is really difficult. But when you really press forward to just continue to read on a regular basis, you will absolutely fall in love with the Word of God. And so I hope that that's the case. And hopefully what we do here on Sunday will bridge that gap for you. So let's pray. Before we get into it, you don't want to hear my opinion. You're not here to hear my opinion. You're here to hear from God. You're here to praise God. And I don't really want to hear your opinion when it comes to eternal things. And so, not to be rude, but our job is to figure out what God's opinion is, what God says the truth is, and then we live our lives based on that. So I'm going to pray that God would speak to us today. So let's pray. Father, it's a life that we live, and again, we don't know what today brings, and this may be a difficult day for some people. This may be a day of celebration or a day of mourning. We don't know what this day brings, but we truly believe that Your Word speaks to our hearts wherever we are. And so, Father, I pray that through the message and through singing of Your praises, Lord, that You speak to our heart today. If we need to be motivated to be more like You, then motivate us today. If we are absolutely convicted of sin, break our hearts, not so we can feel bad, but so that we can understand the redemptive work that Your forgiveness gives us, Lord. And so I pray that You would speak to our hearts whatever way necessary. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. Okay. Jumping right off the bat, Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 17. So Acts 5, 17. As you turn there, I just want to have let you know that we're going to go through the next 3 or 4 weeks between 17 and the bottom of the chapter, so between 17 and 42. So we'll just be working through kind of a series, but really it's just that section. The series is going to be called Getting People to the Gospel. And so we're just going to walk through what that means. And so I'm going to do a little bit of an extended introduction today, talk about specifically 17 through 21a, and then we'll just move forward as we continue in the book of Acts. So the first thing, just kind of some presuppositions that I have about life. We all have kind of basic things that we believe about life, whether you believe in God, whether you don't believe in God, whether the God of the universe wants us to do something, or if He's just up there hanging out watching us, the interactions that we have, what is right, what is wrong, is there heaven or is there hell? We all have different things, but my presuppositions are defined by the Bible. And so as we get into this section, I want to just walk us through a few things that maybe you don't know. Hopefully you should, but maybe you don't. Number one is that the God of the universe wants people to know the gospel. Okay? God wants people to know the gospel. Okay? The gospel, when I use that word, is it's kind of a general idea. But what it is this, the message of salvation, what it means to be saved. Or another way to put it is the truth. Because everybody has different truths in this life, but I think, I very clearly believe there is one truth. 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't equal whatever I want it to equal. It doesn't equal what makes me feel good. 1 + 1 = 2. So there is one truth in this life, and God wants people to know that truth. He wants them to know who Jesus Christ really is. He wants them to know the message of salvation. He wants people to know what He did on the cross. He wants them to know that things weren't great and that they're not great, but there's a way to restore things. God wants people to know the gospel, and you can plug anything in there. The truth, salvation, the message of salvation, Jesus Christ, because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is truth, and so to know the gospel is to know truth, is to know Jesus. So we need to know that. We need to believe that. God wants people to know the gospel. You have people in your life that you live with. Maybe it's your family members. Maybe it's your coworkers. Maybe it's your neighborhood. God wants people to know the gospel. However, there is a problem with people. People don't know the gospel on their own. Okay, so here's my position based on the Bible is that a human being, if they don't have some outside force working on them, they will never know the truth. It doesn't matter how much time they spend studying all the different things of this life. Without something outside of themselves working on them, human beings, people will never know the truth. They will never know the gospel. No one. And that might surprise you. There might be people that go to church with you every single week, and they might not know who Jesus Christ really is. It never ceases to amaze me when I talk to people who have been in church their whole life, the things that they say, I'm like, I don't think that's true. So God wants people to know the gospel, but people don't know the gospel on their own. The people in this room who know the gospel, you didn't do it on your own. Something else had to work on your heart. And so God wants people to know the gospel, but people don't know the gospel on their own. Therefore, what's the solution? Bring them the gospel. God says, I want people to have this knowledge, this truth. They don't have that knowledge, and so God's going to bring it to them. That's the solution. God wants them to have something. They don't have it, so let's get it to them. And so God has a very specific strategy. God does this in many different ways, but it seems as you read throughout Scripture, the majority of the ways that God, or the majority of the time that God does this, He does this in a very specific way. So God's strategy of getting people the gospel, those who don't know the gospel, which is everybody, His strategy is a partnership. The God of the universe could, in His sovereign will and sovereign power, do it all on His own. God could teach people the gospel on His own. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need help. He's God. But in His sovereign wisdom, He has determined that the most common way to bring people the gospel is a partnership. A partnership between whom, you may ask? You should know this, but if you don't, the partnership between God Himself and His church. Okay? When I say His church, I mean Christians. So God wants people to know the gospel. They don't know the gospel on their own, so God wants to bring them the gospel. And in order to do that, God partners with His children, partners with Christians to bring people the gospel. And so basically, God has designed that we, His believers, we, His children, will work hand in hand with the God of the universe to bring the very gospel, the things that people need but don't have, to bring it to them. Okay? God has a part in this, but so do we. Again, God could do it alone if He wanted to, but He has allowed for us to be part of this process. And so in the partnership to bring the gospel to people, God has a role and we have a role. It is a partnership. Now let's be clear. It is not an equal partnership. Okay? God, we've said this many times throughout studying the book of Acts and in general, that this is not an equal partnership, okay? We're working with God, but God does the heavy lifting. God is the all-powerful, supernatural being who can do all things and who knows all things. God does the heavy lifting of bringing the gospel to the world. We are His sidekicks, okay? If you don't like that word, we are His support staff. Anybody grow up with Batman and Robin, right? So Batman is the main guy. He's the guy with everything. And Robin is just there to help him. Robin's the sidekick. That's the partnership that we have with God to bring people the gospel. God is the main act. He is the focus. He is the power. He is the one who will change hearts. And He allows us to be His sidekicks and come alongside of Him with that, with Him. Okay, so people don't know the gospel. I'm sorry. God wants people to know the gospel. They don't know the gospel, so God's going to bring them the gospel. And in order to do that, He's going to partner with His church to bring people the gospel. I don't know if you've ever asked the question, what is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? On this earth, that's it. That's what's going on in this earth. That's all of the moving pieces that God has designed. That's the big picture of our time on this earth. God is not saying the purpose of life is to be rich. The purpose of life is to be successful. The purpose of life is to be liked. The purpose of life is to have a nice, comfortable, healthy life where everything is safe. That is not what God says. God says the purpose of our current situation is to get people who don't know the gospel, to get the gospel into their hearts so that their eternities can be changed. If you're wondering, God, what is my purpose in life? That is it. Get people the gospel. Partner with the God of the universe to get people the gospel. I love this story that I heard from a famous preacher, and he's trying to seek, what does God want me to do? And he's in this pivotal place in life, and what does God want me to do? And I don't know what to do. And so he's on the West Coast, and he gets a blanket, and he gets a coffee, and he gets a nice little muffin, and he says, God, I'm going to sit out on the beach, and I'm going to seek your face as long as I have to. You tell me what you need me to do. And so he gets out, and he lays out the blanket on the beach. He's got his coffee and his little blueberry muffin, and he says, I opened up the Word, and it didn't take very long for God to make it clear what he wanted me to do. And he said, pick up your silly little blanket, get in your car, and go tell people about Jesus. It's not that complicated. Sometimes we overanalyze. What is God's purpose in my life? Get people the gospel. As a Christian, that's the mission. That's our core desire. That's our core motivation. Partner with the God of the universe to bring the gospel to people who don't know the gospel. Now, a few things we need to talk about in the nature of this partnership. Because if you're a Christian, you're called to work alongside of the God of the universe in a partnership when bringing people the gospel. Here's what we learn. Like we talked about last week, the Holy Spirit is always moving in a weird and different way, and a confusing way where we don't quite understand how He's working, and it's different every time. That is how the partnership works. And so God does the heavy lifting, but it's not always the same. Let's just use a few examples. It may be that God, the Holy Spirit, goes out in front of you and absolutely prepares the way. And He says, I've set a stage for you to just have a conversation. And you just walk right into that place and you just preach the gospel. You just speak the gospel. Sometimes God goes out in front of us and just sets the place ready to hear the gospel. That's how God sometimes works. But sometimes God is right behind us. He's saying, go knock on their door. And He's right behind us. We're saying, I don't want to. And He's like, come on, you can do it. Right? He's not in front of us this time. He's behind us. And He's trying to push us because we don't want to go. And He says, go knock on their door because they need the gospel and they don't have it. And then you walk up to the door and the person says, what do you want? You turn around and you say, him? You want me to tell him the gospel? And the Holy Spirit's behind you and saying, yeah, tell him the gospel. That's what he needs to hear. And then the Holy Spirit works inside that person's heart and they say, what do you need to know? You say, I want to tell you about Jesus. And they say, okay, tell me about Jesus. Sometimes God works in very fast ways. And you say, God, open up a door for me to share the gospel with my coworker. And the next day, your coworker says, you're a Christian, can you tell me about Jesus? And you say, thank you, God, for opening that door. But sometimes you pray and say, God, give me the opportunity to share the gospel with my coworker. And then for 10 years it doesn't happen. But day after day you're faithful and you sit down for the first 10 minutes of your lunch and you read the Word of God. And for 10 years your coworker is saying, they are faithful. For 10 years they've been reading the Bible. And so when they come up against a challenge and their spouse passes away or something tragic happens in their life, they come to you after 10 years of knowing you. God works in many different ways, in many different timings. So we need to know that when we partner with the God of the universe, it's just different. God just works in many different ways. We also need to know that when you partner with the God of the universe, you will be resisted. There will always be resistance when you're fighting with God. It's called a battle for a reason, because you're fighting against somebody else. You're fighting against your very own flesh that doesn't want to do the things that God wants to do. You're fighting against the world, which is corrupt. And you're fighting against a real enemy called the devil and his demons. And so when you decide and you come alongside of God and you with Him bring the gospel to people, you will face resistance. So that's my introduction. So just keep that in the back of your mind. God wants people to know the gospel. They don't know the gospel on their own. And so God's going to bring them the gospel, and He does that with His power, and He partners with us. So with that being said, let's take a look at Acts chapter 5, verses 17. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Okay? Let me just read that again so we get a little bit. So if you didn't read it, just read it with me, okay, in your Bibles. Page 912, you can't get there now. But Acts chapter 5, verse 17. But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, they were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in public prison. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. In the back of your mind, God wants people to know the gospel. They don't know the gospel. God's going to bring them the gospel, and He's going to use His power, partnering with His church, Christians, to bring them the gospel. Right off the bat in verse 17, we see that the high priest and the Sadducees are jealous. Okay? So they're jealous. They're looking at the apostles and they're looking at the early church, the Christian church, and they're jealous. Why are these leaders so jealous? Because these leaders aren't getting the attention that they want. For a long time in Judaism, these leaders were the guys. They were the spiritual guys that everybody looked up to. They needed answers, they go to these guys. These guys are the guys who read the Bible. They're the spiritual guys. They're the professional Christians or professional spiritual people. But during this time in Acts, the whole town is saying, "We don't really care about those people. There's something crazy, awesome happening with these Christians." And the thing that's diverting people's attention is the power of God. So God is pouring out these mighty power, mighty signs and wonders, and people are being healed, and the world is paying attention. And they're focused, and they're laser focused on what's happening in this church with these Christians. That's God playing His part. That's God doing amazing miracles, and people are like, "I want to see what's going on there. I want to know what's going on there." And so the Jewish leaders are just like little kids. They're jealous. They're like, "Come look at me. Look at me. Why are you looking over there? We're important." But the world doesn't seem to care. They seem to be focused on the church and what Jesus Christ is doing. And so they are also, we talked about this before, they have power. And so they're jealous and they're powerful. So they take these apostles who they're jealous of and they have the ability to do something about it. So they take them and they throw them in jail. "We don't want these people talking anymore. We don't want them being popular anymore. We're the show. So we'll take those people and we'll put them in jail." Okay? So God is working to divert the world's attention, divert the town's attention, and then the people, the Jewish leaders, are jealous, so they throw the people in jail. And so you've got a bunch of apostles, the leaders of the church, in jail. And what is God's goal? Again, God's goal is to get people the gospel. And God can get people the gospel when Christians are in jail. God uses Paul often while he is in jail to share the gospel. But God in His sovereign plan said, "I don't want the apostles in jail anymore. They're more effective outside of jail sharing the gospel than they are in jail." And so God says, "I don't care what jail you put them in." So He's in verse 19. "But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, 'Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life.'" Once again, it's a partnership. It's the God of the universe saying, "Yeah, I'm not that worried about your prison doors. Let me send an angel and open up the doors." So here we have this absolute miracle. Can any of you go and open up prison doors? I can't. But God sends His angels to do this miracle to open up prison doors. He's got His church in prison ready to share the gospel. He says, "Get out of the prison. You're not very effective right now in the prison." So let me ask you a question. Let's have a little bit of internal reflection here. Why does God miraculously open the prison doors? Why does He open the doors? Does He want them to go home to their families? We assume that most of the apostles have families. These aren't just guys who are, right, who have no families. They have lives. They're in prison. Does God say, "Hey, I'm going to open up these doors so you can go back and have a nice life, so you can be comfortable"? Why does God open up the doors? We don't have to guess. It's right here. The angel says, "Go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." That term, "words of this life," really is the gospel, really is the picture of salvation. They, at this moment, they have a choice, but their direction is clear. The apostles are in jail, and Peter and John are in jail for the second time for telling people about Jesus. So they're in jail, they open up the doors, and the angel says, "Your job is to go tell people about Jesus." Again, this fits in with God's desire that people will know the gospel. They've got a choice at this moment. What are they going to do? Again, internal reflection. What would you do If because you're telling people about Jesus, because you're living a Christ-like life, you end up in jail. And then God supernaturally opens up the doors and says, keep doing what got you in jail in the first place. What would you do? Would you go home and say, that's enough. Had enough of this Christian persecution stuff. What would you do? What do they do? Verse 21. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. It's one of my favorite things in the Bible when they just do what they're told. Go tell people about Jesus. Okay, we'll do that. What they don't do is actually just more as just as impactful as what they do. Sounds funny. A little bit of relief here today. What they don't do is they don't start making excuses. I'm not that kind of person, God. I just was in jail, so I need a little vacation right now. I need a little break from Christianity because it's costing me a lot right now. My family's at home, and I'm out here preaching the gospel, and I get thrown in jail. So you know what? I just can't do that right now. I'm not going to do the very thing that just landed me in jail. These people hate us. And down in verse 33, we learn that they hate them so much that they want to kill them. The Jewish leaders want to kill these people. But they don't make excuses. They don't start saying, you know what? My family's more important than the ministry. I'm going home. This is too much. They don't have any committee meetings or processing meetings. Well, we're going to sit down and talk about what the angel said because we don't know if he really meant like literally go into the temple or did he mean like metaphorically go into the temple, right? There's no Bible studies about what did the angel tell us to do? Should we sit around and talk about it? Should we get together and pray for the next 3 weeks to make sure that that's what God told us to do? None of that stuff. Just straight obedience. Go tell them the truth about Jesus. Okay, that's what we'll do. If anybody had a reason not to go back into the temple to preach the gospel, these people had that reason. It could cost them their life. But they don't give excuses. They just do what God calls them to do. They say, God, you're doing a miraculous work. You're doing amazing things. You're saving souls from hell, and you're calling us to be part of that? So then, yeah, we're on board. We're going to do it. So I just love the simplicity of this thing. God wants people in Jerusalem and the surrounding towns to know the gospel. And He says, I want to use my apostles. So I'm going to miraculously open up prison doors and provide an opportunity for them to share the gospel, for them to speak and to preach the gospel. And it's just so simple. They just did it. So let's move into a little bit of application. Okay? Here's what we know. God still wants people to know the gospel. We live in 2018, right? We have a very different world than they had. They were thrown in jail for sharing their faith. We have complete freedom to share our faith. You may not be liked for sharing your faith, but you are covered by the United States government that you are free to believe whatever you want to believe and you are free to say whatever you want to believe when it comes to religion. But the fact that hasn't changed is God still wants people to know the gospel. I just want you to think, just stop for a moment and think about your life. They say that every person has between 15 and 20 people that they're closely connected to. And then they have another like 100 people that they're a little bit loosely connected to. How many of those people don't know the truth about Jesus Christ? How many of people of the people that you sit down with at your Thanksgiving table don't know the gospel? How many people when you go into work, how many of them know the gospel? When you look out at your neighborhood, how many people in your neighborhood truly know Jesus? 73% of Americans will say they're Christians, but you put one qualifier, are you a practicing Christian? It drops down to 31%. I don't even know what a non-practicing Christian is. I can't imagine that's really a Christian. How many people in your world don't really know the gospel? Do your neighbors know the gospel? Do you even know your neighbors? And if they say they're a Christian, do you go a little bit further and say, what does that mean? Because let me just tell you, I've never ever hunted, but I can stand up and wear a camouflage and say I'm a hunter. I can say that all day long. But just because I wear a hunting outfit and say I'm a hunter, that doesn't make me a hunter. And so people can say they're a Christian, they can say that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. So do you really know if they know the gospel? Do you really know if they know the truth? The people in your world, do they know Jesus? Do you know that the God of the universe wants them to know Jesus? Do you believe that? And so the question is this. Will you partner with the God of the universe to bring people the gospel? It's a simple question. The people in Acts, they said, you bet. We will do whatever we have to. God, we are surrendered to you, whatever you tell us to do. If we go before the council and they send us to prison, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. If they kill some of us, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. If it's hard, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. If we're hated by everybody, we're going to keep preaching the gospel. Will you partner with the God of the universe to bring people the gospel? Will you do it even if it's hard? Will you do it even if it costs you? Will you do it even if you have to make changes in your life? We're so resistant to change. I've got my plan, I've got my life, I've got my 5-year plan, my weekly schedule is worked out. This is how it works. God, I don't have room for this right now. I don't have time to go over and talk to people about Jesus. I've got my life planned out. If the God of the universe would call you to move to a different place, would call you to talk to somebody who you don't want to talk to, will you partner with the God of the universe to bring people the gospel? I love 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13. I'm just going to read it for you. It says, if we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. No matter how terrible or how lazy or how bad we are, if we are at times, God never fails us. Okay? So how does that apply to what we're talking about? When it comes to this partnership of reaching people with the gospel, okay, we are partnering with the God of the universe. When it comes to this partnership, God will never fail. God is always working. God is always doing amazing things. God is always, always, always doing His part. The question is, will you do your part? I've used this example and I'll use it again. Let me just start to kind of close this thing up. When I go to professional sporting events, you guys ever go to professional sporting events anymore? It seems like nobody goes anymore. But or if you go to a sporting event, let me give you a little confession. I am depressed when I go to sporting events. You want to know why? Because I want to be on the field, right? Honestly, I think I'm good enough to play on the field, right? I know I'm not. But I don't like being in the stands when I'm watching people do things that maybe I used to do. I want to be in there. I want to be in the action. I don't want to watch some other person win. I want to be part of that victory. Anybody feel like that? No? Guess that's just me. Maybe there's other things in life that you're a spectator and you're like, I want to be part of that. I want to see that. Maybe you read stories of missionaries and you're like, that's awesome. I want to do that. People give up their whole lives to go tell people in Africa about Jesus. People give up everything to sold out to Jesus Christ. Maybe in your heart you're like, I want that. We have a chance to be in the action. The real, eternal action. You and I have that opportunity as Christians. God is inviting you to be part of that action. Will you accept? Or will you sit on the sidelines and say, look at those Christians really working hard for Jesus. Good job. Way to go. All right. Get the idea. Let me just close it up with the gospel. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, okay? So if you're here today and you're thinking, I would love to share the gospel with somebody. I don't know how to share the gospel. Let me just say what I'm going to say, and then maybe you can use this as a helpful thing. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, here's what you need to know. Every Christian in this room, we didn't know the truth. We were blind. We were confused. We may have thought that we knew the truth, but we didn't. We didn't really know who Jesus Christ is. Some of us may have grown up in the church and we heard about Jesus every single week. But every person in this room who is now a Christian, at one time, we didn't know the truth. We were lost. We didn't get it. We thought we did, but we didn't. And if it hadn't been for God working on our lives, we would have never learned the truth. Ever. We would have been stuck in lostness forever. And so I say this from a position of humility. I and the Christians in this room, we are absolutely nothing without God. But with God, we are His children. Our relationship with Him is restored, and we're going to be with Him forever. So if you're in this room today and you're not a Christian, I just need to tell you, you're lost. You don't know the truth. I'm sorry. You just don't know it. But the God of the universe wants you to know the truth. And here's the truth. He created you. He wants to have a true and genuine relationship with you, literally forever. That's the design. But there's a problem, and it's called sin. And if you're here today, you've got sin. If you're not a Christian, that sin has not been dealt with, and so your relationship with God is disrupted. But Jesus Christ, the God of the universe, came down to this earth, died on a cross for our sins, to wipe away that sin, so that your relationship can be restored. And so if you are faithful to stop going your path and start following Jesus, then you will be forgiven of your sins. And you'll be with God forever. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled whenever we even think about the fact that you want us to be part of your work. God, we are so messed up, we don't even have any idea why you want us to partner with you. We know that you can do it so much better than we can, but for some reason, you allow us to be part of it. You allow us to have a front row seat to miracles happening. You allow us to have a front row seat to souls being saved from hell and brought into eternal paradise. Father, I just pray that we would search our hearts, and we don't want to go out and make disciples, and we don't want to partner with you. Ask ourselves the question, what else are we going to do? What's more gratifying, what's more joyful than to pick up our sword, to pick up our cross, and fight alongside the God of the universe as He rescues souls from hell? What in this world can be more satisfying than that? What are we doing that's so important that we don't do that? Father, we see you working in amazing ways, and we want to be part of that. And so I just pray that like this church, that as soon as you put something on our hearts, go talk to our neighbors, go talk to our co-workers, go talk to our family. We know that we're going to face resistance, but I pray that we have the strength to simply obey. And if you say go, then we say okay. We don't start thinking of all the reasons why we shouldn't or why we can't. Father, I know what it is to serve you, and sometimes we fail and sometimes we succeed, but those times when we succeed, we know it was hard, but it's the most joyful place that we can be. And so, Father, we think that to partner with you is a life of persecution, and it may be, but it's also a life of the fullest joy that we can possibly possess. Teach our hearts that truth. If anyone in this room today, Lord, they don't know the truth about you, you're going to have to do the heavy lifting. Touch their hearts and teach them the truth about you. Teach them that you love them so much and they can't even understand it. Father, I just pray for the non-Christians in this room that you would work on their hearts. Draw them to who you are so they would stop going the way that they're going and start following you. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.